Heavenly Father, as we listen to your word in this message, we ask you to bless us to receive with meekness the engrafted word of God, which is able to save our souls. James chapter 1, verse 21. We love you, Jesus. Some among us, that is, among the professing believers, seem to get very upset when wolves, obvious false teachers, are called out and exposed and marked as the Bible commands us to do. But the Apostle Paul penned these words. He says, "Let God be true and every man, beginning with ourselves, a liar." Romans chapter 3, verse 4. So again, some among us are upset. They get upset when they see somebody exposed and they go into their cover-up mode. Well, we're not to judge, but is that the truth? No, we are to judge. We are actually to mark and expose all wolves who are teaching another gospel. Paul said they're accursed. They're not believers, they're wolves. And the Bible tells us, Jesus warned us, that in the last days in which we now live, many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. Now, let's look at this again across the aggregate of Scripture. Notice in Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 7, the Bible says God commanded Ezekiel to warn the people, warn them from me. So there is a warning coming from the throne and the word of God, not from men. They're just the vessels who bring forth that warning. But it's the warning of God. It's a divine warning. Warn them from me. Now, do we remember how Paul, with tears, he cried for 3 years? I don't know anybody today that cares for the body of Christ like Paul did. Maybe there are some who weep and cry with tears, quote unquote, for 3 years, day and night, Paul did, and it was over the protection of Jesus's sheep. And Paul said he gave them all the counsel of God, not just some of it, but all of it, in order to protect them. And he warned them of the wolves, the vicious wolves who were going to rise up within. Now, we're not talking about Jehovah Witnesses, Catholics, Mormons, or Seventh-day Adventists, obvious cults. We're talking about people from within, that is, within the professing body of Christ. They are degreed with some stupid piece of paper from a seminary or Bible college. They have crept in unawares, as Jude and I believe 2 Peter tell us. Paul said in verse 20 of Acts 20, we need a 2020 vision, don't we, saints? Let's see what Acts 20:20 says, "And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you." So in protecting the saints, Paul disclosed the full counsel of God. "But have showed you and taught you publicly and from house to house." He preached the word, as he said in 2 Timothy 4:2, in season and out of season. That means all the time and everywhere. He says here, "Publicly and from house to house, he taught them all of the word of God, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." Notice the two essentials that we see brought together here for salvation: repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance and faith. Acts 20:21. I want you to lock this one in and have it as ammo ready to go to defend the faith and to think biblically, to think according to the kingdom truth of the word of God. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Snapshot, highlight, bracket, capture, own, memorize, retain, and share. Amen. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible speaks of we're saved by faith, grace through faith, Ephesians 2:8-9, Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, etc. And then we also have Jesus saying, "Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." And so you see here, it's brought together right here. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. I like the two R's also of "except ye repent, you shall all likewise perish," Luke 13:3, and then John 1:2, which says, "As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." That's John 1:12, Luke 13:3. So repentance and receiving Jesus are essential to salvation. That's practically what we see here. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, which would result in receiving him or be included in receiving him. Repent and receive Christ. That's a simplified way to minister the word of God. Verse 22, Acts 20, Paul is speaking to the Ephesian elders. He says, and now behold, I go bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds, that means being incarcerated, and afflictions abide or await me, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. What was part of finishing his course? What did it include? It included what we're seeing in this very passage, warning the body of Christ not to be drawn away by the wolves who are lying and deceiving and working within, who are not preaching the original or much less the full counsel of the word of God, of the original gospel. Paul says in Galatians 1, they are accursed. A lot of folks, a lot of cowards in our midst want to reduce that and make it, well, they just don't know, or they're just deceived. Anybody who's deceived is willingly deceived because we have a Bible. And the scripture assures us that in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, that we are going to be destroyed. My people are destroyed. They're what? They're destroyed. Why? For lack of knowledge. Because they have what? Rejected the knowledge of God. They're too busy building their church business. They're too busy promulgating half-truths, a cotton candy instead of the original gospel, because their goal is to multiply their nickels, noses, and numbers, not to see a purified bride that is first repented, put their faith in Christ, received him, and is walking holy as he is holy. That's not their goal. That's why they won't preach on judgment to come. They won't preach on eternal damnation for any and everybody who doesn't cut off the hand and pluck out the eye and so dies in sin. They're not going to preach on the crucified life, which is essential to following Christ. That's what he taught. Wow. You're not going to hear these things. You're not going to hear that God is holy and we're to be holy as he is holy. You're not going to hear that. If you have just listened to just a handful of the cardinal doctrines of the Christian faith, and you reflect upon what your so-called pastor is preaching and not preaching, you should run for your life. That would be a biblical warning, as we're going to see here in this passage. So Paul says in verse 24 of Acts 20, our passage here is Acts 20:20 through 32. He says, none of these things, that is the danger of dying that he had been being warned about by the Holy Ghost. He says, first of all, but none of these things move me. I'm not moved by that. Saints, we don't have to be moved by death. We're not afraid of death. I've got a lot of friends. They have a lot of an arsenal full of weapons. Why? I'm just going to ask a rhetorical question. Are they afraid to die? Sounds like it. I'm a United States Marine veteran. They probably wonder, why doesn't this guy have a arsenal? Now, I believe in the Second Amendment. I agree with that. But for me personally, I'm not afraid to die. Maybe that's why I've never built up an arsenal. It's not an interest to me. What if I die? Well, poor thing, I'll be in heaven. What if you die today? Oh, poor thing. You're walking with Jesus. You're ready to meet him. You got your hand on the plow of the Great Commission. You're in the will of God. You're abiding in Christ. And oh, you poor thing, you might die and go to heaven. Isn't that a shame? When people die that are in Christ, shouldn't we be a little bit jealous? I believe we should. See, we only know this part of this side of heaven, but if we look through the eyes of Scripture, we see that the righteous are going to rest in their beds. Isaiah 57, 1 and 2, the righteous perisheth, they die, and no man layeth it to heart. Nobody sees it the way the Bible spells it out, through a kingdom lens, if you will, and perspective, and merciful men are taken away. We lose them. Many of you have lost your parents, your loved ones, your friends. None considering that the righteous, the who? The righteous, those that are born again and ready to meet Jesus, is taken away from the evil to come. Wow. They've escaped present and especially the evil to come. Now, how much more is that pertinent today when we face the mark of the beast. There's a lot of evil coming. It's already coming, and it's just going to get worse until Jesus comes and puts down all rebellion and takes back over his earth. He created it. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and every soul belongs to him. Ezekiel 18:4, Psalm 24:1, all souls are mine, Ezekiel 18:4, and every soul is going to go to heaven or hell, and Jesus is coming back, the judge of the earth, to vanquish all rebels into the lake of fire, Revelation 21:8, etc. Verse 2, Isaiah 57, he shall enter, that is the righteous who die in Christ, he shall enter into peace. Every time somebody dies, people are just saying, well, they're in a better place. Let me tell you something, whether it's your parents or loved ones or children or friends that you love or mine, if they die in sin, they're going to hell. They're going to burn in the flames of eternal damnation forever. Let's stop the disingenuous, dishonest, deceitful cover-up and tell the truth. Warn with the naked truth of God and stop putting sugar on top of it. Repent. Now, he, that is who, in the context, verse 1, the righteous. Who are the righteous? Born again, they repented and received Christ, they're born again, and they are enduring to the end. They died in Christ. It doesn't matter if you were saved in the past or not. You got saved, good, stay saved. If you die in sin, you are going to perish in hell irrevocably. You're going to burn for all eternity. When a million years, Earth's time clock have expired, not 1 second on eternity's time clock will ever cease. Will ever expire, your suffering in hell will be forever. That's why Jesus was so severe in his language. Mark 9:42-49, cut off the hand, pluck out the eye that causes you to offend, lest your whole body be cast into hell, and your worm, your consciousness, dieth not. That's a place where your consciousness will never cease. No such thing as annihilation. Again, going back to what we're warning about here, you're not going to see these pansies we call pastors that are going to preach. They use the fake Bibles that pretty much strip away, if not remove, that text in the end of Mark 9. That alone ought to be your reason to get the real Bible for the English-speaking people, the King James Bible. Verse 2, Isaiah 57, he shall enter, the righteous shall enter into peace. The righteous shall rest in their beds. How many people know that being with Jesus instead of being in hell in eternity with Jesus and the Father, Revelation 21, in the New Jerusalem, our new residence, our new address, we're going to have our own place of rest. Now, I don't know what that means literally, but perhaps we will have it, a literal bed, but we will have rest from all evil. Revelation 21:4, he's going to wipe away all tears, all pain, everything negative, gone forever. They shall rest in their beds. Now, the important thing is not the literal manifestation or reality of that. Maybe we don't know, but we will have rest. We're going to have rest forever. And you're going to be so glad you made the decision, beloved, to not only repent and receive Christ. Yes, you had somewhat to do with that. Yes, he granted repentance and faith, but you had to say yes. And the decision to endure, to remain faithful to Christ all the way to the end, most important decision and most consequential decision you and I will ever make. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. See, you're going to endure to the end, living up an upright life in Christ, and you're going to have eternal peace. So Paul knows all of this stuff more than any man except Christ who ever walked the earth. He has a revelation of all these things, and he is disclosing the full counsel of God to these people, the body of Christ, as well and just the same to us. And so none of these things, that is the threat of dying, move me. I'm not moved by any of that. Why? Because he feared God. And when you fear God, you fear no man. Neither count I my life dear. By the way, you don't fear any man, but you also don't fear death. Because as Paul wrote later, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the hearts of men the things which God has prepared for them that love him. And those that love him obey him, and they endure to the end. know the fruit of obedience does not save them, but it is the manifestation of true saving faith and love toward God. Loving God and obeying Him, your obedience to Him, is an expression of your love for Him. Jesus said, if you love me, that is, if you choose to love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and not yourself, obey me. John 14:15 and 15:14. Jesus said in verse 21, John 14, he that has my commandments and keeps them, obeys them, he it is that loveth me. If you see anybody, or if you're the type of person who claims to love God and yet you're not obeying God diligently and meticulously, you don't love him. You are a liar. You are lying to yourself, and every liar is going to go to the lake of fire. Revelation 21 verse 4. Paul says, but none of these things move me. I'm not afraid to die. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course and the ministering which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Now, is that how you're living, my friend? Fearless of death, not counting your life dear to yourself, finishing your course one day, one step at a time in obedience to God and the ministry which you have received of the Lord. You have, if you're born again, received the ministry of the Lord. You are called to minister, to love people by giving them the word of God, whatever else you're ministering biblically would include, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. That's part of it. The Great Commission, verse 25. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more, that is, in this life. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. He has no blood on his hands, as he's borrowing that from Ezekiel, who says, if you don't warn others of the impending danger and doom of their eternal soul, if they continue in sin, you have blood on your hands. I want to recommend three chapters of great importance and components of truth to your life in Christ. Ezekiel chapter 3, chapter 18, and chapter 33. Let me say it one more time. Rewind if you need to. Ezekiel 3, 18 and 33. So Paul is giving a glimpse of what the prophet Ezekiel caught on here. He says, I am pure from the blood of all men. I have no blood guilt. I have warned them. They're going to make the choice. And this is a revelation we need. Listen, I no longer fret over the decisions others will make. Maybe I don't have a good heart like Paul did, because this is a whole nother subject, but I'm thinking about it right now as we're going through these scriptures together. Paul said, and we're going to read that right here in the next verses, where he cried 3 years day and night with tears. Now, do I think I care for the body of Christ compared to Paul, or do you think you care? I don't think so. I don't think we have a clue to the love of God that was in Paul's heart, that we should pray for, aspire for, that he would cry 3 years, day and night, with tears, literally. Because of what? We're going to read that in a minute. The danger that was faced and is faced today by the body of Christ. We're talking about warning, saints. Warning takes up a huge amount of real estate in the Bible. The prophets all warned. Jesus warned. John the Baptist warned. The apostles warned. Paul, Peter, John, throughout their writings. And that's what we have today in the Word of God. And we are to be the voices of warning, especially and first of all to the body of Christ. So Paul says here that he's pure from the blood of all men, and he has not shunned. Verse 27, again he says, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Verse 20 and 27 go together. He said in verse 20, I kept back nothing, that is the truth of God, the word of God, that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. To Christ, in the end of Matthew 28, actually the end of Matthew, the whole book, he tells us to go forth and teach his word to all men. And he is with us, lo, even unto the end, as we do this. And then, so he says here in verse 27, also, I have not shunned, I have not withheld, to declare unto you all, not some, all of the counsel of God. That should be our goal, is to disclose to the body of Christ, first of all, learning ourselves and disclosing the full counsel of God, the full pure, whole, original gospel. Not half-truths, not like a lot of these evangelical frauds who preach on grace, 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 and faith, but they never teach on judgment and repentance and the danger of eternal damnation if you die in sin, as we went over earlier, because they're peddling and promulgating this heretical fairy tale of eternal security, which is not any part of the gospel, the original gospel. It's actually seen as coming out of the mouth of Satan and his false teachers today. Satan was the first one to introduce and to spawn this fairy tale myth, this lie from hell of an eternal security, that you're no longer accountable to God because you're in right standing with God and you're once saved, always saved. Right? Wrong. Genesis 2:17 and 3:4, we see his false teachers teaching the same thing throughout the Old and New Testament. Example, Jeremiah 23:17, Jude verse 3 and 4, where we're mandated to earnestly contend, like Paul's doing to the Ephesian elders here, earnestly, diligently contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. Against who? Against the ungodly men. Verse 4, Jude, who do what? They turn the grace of our God into lasciviousness or license for sin. The whole dispensational movement and the Baptists who teach and peddle this once in grace, always in grace, this eternal security, once saved, always saved, heretical lie from hell. We are to earnestly contend against them and their lies. The whole system of Calvinism, for example, is a different thing than the evangelical movement, but there's some bleed over. But that whole Calvinistic five-point system is demonic justification of living in sin. It's all to justify a life of sin. That's what it all goes down to, as was the case with how Satan tempted the man and the woman in the garden when he told them, you shall not surely die if you sin against God. Wait a minute. God just told them to protect them. Excuse me, this is the first warning from God. And he personally warned Adam and Eve that if you disobey me, I love you, but if you disobey me, you shall surely die. Death means being cut off, separated. God is holy, holy, holy. He cannot fellowship with those who are not holy as he is holy. Example, Psalm 5:4, Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 13, etc. That's another thing that you'll never hear taught in the modern church, is that God is holy, 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 and that we are to be holy as he is holy. Revelation 4:8, Isaiah 6:3, 1 Peter 1:15-16. So Paul, who taught that God is holy, said here in verse 27, as we finish this passage, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves. Notice again, Jesus speaks about personal responsibility. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock. First to yourselves. That's our first line of responsibility, is to keep our own hearts before the Lord. Guard or keep your hearts with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, not overlords, overseers, over Christ's flock, to lovingly serve and warn and teach and feed and protect them. To feed the church of God. Jesus told Peter three times, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the flock of God. Are you feeding the flock of God, the pure word of God? I love to follow the Nehemiah 8:8 principle in the word. We give the word itself directly and distinctly in the very words of Scripture, the King James Bible, and then we give the sense of the Scriptures. And so many times today we hear so many people who are our quote-unquote evangelical or whatever non-denominational preachers that give very little Scripture. Are you factoring that in when you're listening to people? Who is it that you listen to that is giving the pure Word of God from the Word and then just talking about what it says, giving the sense of it, the plain truth, the self evident truth of it, that is line upon line, precept upon precept, collating or putting together Scripture with Scripture. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 13. Are you listening to people that tell these flowery stories and go off in their polemics and all of their oration and articulation, telling stories and once in a while coming back to a Scripture or something? Is that who you're listening to? First of all, God calls you, my friend, to study to show your own self yourself, you do it, you're fully accountable and responsible before the Almighty to do it. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself, you do it. Take personal responsibility to get in the Word. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman, it takes work, very rewarding work, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And the only way you're going to be able to discern if somebody is preaching the truth of God in context with the whole of the Word of God is if you are gaining the knowledge of the whole of the Word of God by daily study of the Word of God, which you should be doing upon awaking each and every morning as you seek the Lord in His strength, seek His face continually, 1 Chronicles 16:11, in prayer and praise and thanksgiving, and in the diligent, thorough study of the Word of God. You are a student of the Savior. You entered, He brought you into His kingdom and into the school of the Word and the Holy Ghost the moment He saved you. And that's why there's no need for seminary. They're all apostate. I said all. And Bible colleges. There's no need for it. You are in the school of the Holy Ghost. You have a Bible. Seems to me, and I've been to two Bible colleges and denounced it fully, that people go to Bible colleges perhaps because they're too lazy to just study the Bible on their own. That seems self-evidently true. So, verse 28, Acts 20, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the flock of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood, to teach, to establish them in Christ, in the truth, to feed them. And that's how they're going to be able to discern, to get them into the Word. If we're called into ministry and we're not getting others into the Word, why is that? Are we trying to get them to depend on us and our words and our preaching? The best compliment this ministry has ever received, I guess it was about 10 years ago, I got a call from a guy and he said, I want you to know something. He said, I was reading your Predators in Our Pulpits book, and I took your advice. I'm saying, okay, what did you do? And he said, I put down your book and picked up God's book. We could not be more overjoyed. Listen, if our ministry does not get people in the Word of God for themselves, we are failing miserably. And we are of all men most in need of repentance. We are never to foster people's desire to get more of what we have, but to go to God, the treasure chest of His Word, to get unto the living water that's flowing from His eternal throne, Revelation 22:1, and be totally washed, filled by it, and blessed by it, and cleansed by it. Verse 29, Paul is talking about feeding the flock, and then he says, for I know this. Paul taught in Colossians 2:3-10 about the treasures of Christ, all the wisdom of God is in Christ, and that we're to be established in Christ, verse 6 and 7. He follows the same pattern there as he's following here. First, to be rich in the knowledge of God through our personal knowledge of the Scriptures. He says, as ye have therefore received Christ as the Lord of your life, so walk ye in Him, now that you're saved, abiding in Him, John 15, rooted and built up in Him and established. Wow. Notice, walk in Him, be rooted in Him, be built up in Him, be established or established in Him in the faith, in the Word, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware, and then he warns them about beware of deceivers who through philosophy and vain deceit and traditions and rudiments or notions and thinkings of the world, they're teaching these things, they're introducing their psychobabble, telling you to love yourself and all this stupidity. The five love languages. Are you kidding me? That's totally anti-biblical, unscriptural. Stop it. Burn that trash and repent of it before God and denounce it. And go back to everybody you've poisoned with that garbage and tell them you were dead wrong in the fear of God and ask them to forgive you as a false teacher. That's what the Lord had me do many decades ago when I was brought to repentance by His mercy, and He quickened me to go back to everybody I could contact that I had peddled the lies to and apologize. And I did just just that. I made phone calls that night. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Ephesians 4, right? First, he tells them to be established, rooted, grounded in the faith, in the word of God, which faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And then to beware of all the false teachings, the half-truths, the psychobabble, the philosophies, the traditions that are not of God. For in him, that's Christ, all the fullness of the Godhead is found, what? Godhead bodily, verse 9, verse 10. And ye are complete in him who's revealed in the word as the word. That's why you have a Bible, to see Christ. And if we miss him in studying the Bible, we've missed everything. And ye are complete only in who? In him, in Christ, which is the head of all principality and power. So Paul here follows the same divine pattern. He talks about in verse 28, which we're in, verse 28 and 29, about being fed and feeding the flock of God, being full of the word of God, being established in Christ. And then he warns them, just like he did in Colossians 2, which is an extremely important chapter. Verse 29, Acts 20, for I know this, that after my departing shall, it's definitive, grievous or devouring wolves enter in, not sparing the flock. Now, what is the agriculture or the animal kingdom, the creation of God example and illustration he's giving here? We all know, especially in our day, that we watch documentaries of wolves. They all get in a pack. They're a conspiracy of wolves. Ezekiel 22, 25 through 27. Boy, I don't want to get off on that because that's a huge subject in the Word. Look up on Safeguard Your Soul the word conspiracy. Boy, this is going to put a huge component of truth and just exponentially expand your understanding of what's going on today in the professing body of Christ with the conspiracy of false prophets who are banding together and who have and who naturally flock together, because he's teaching that birds of a feather flock together. So if you see one guy that somehow you've been listening to and think he's telling the truth, and then you see him shaking the Pope's hand, big red flag, false prophet, wolf, devil from hell. Or you see him yoked together with other known wolves in sheep's clothing who are making merchandise of the people of God, as Peter said they would, 2 Peter 2, 1 through 3. There's your answer. If you go to a certain fellowship, quote-unquote, church, and they have books from Joyce Meyer, the devil, Kenneth Copeland, or Joel Osteen, etc., what does that tell you? According to Ezekiel 22, 25 through 27, they also are false prophets. I'll leave it at that for the moment. For I know this, verse 29, Acts 20, that after my departing, when I leave, he's going to leave a vacuum, shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. He prophetically knew that this was going to happen, as we know it's happening in our midst, all around us now, and all the way till Jesus comes, that grievous wolves are going to enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And guess why they couldn't enter in, penetrate very deeply, if at all, when Paul was there? Because Paul was an absolute monster against evil, false doctrine, false prophets. He destroyed them. In fact, in Galatia, you can read the book of Galatians. What a profound component of truth you must have in your life. And it's all about the cross replacing the law and the original gospel being replaced by another gospel and another Jesus by another spirit. Paul went so far in Galatians 5, 11, and 12 to say that he would that they were cut off. Look up that phrase in the scripture. What does that mean? It means one of two things, either castrated, if that wasn't bad enough, or killed. Go read it for yourself and look into the term cut off, Galatians 5, 11, and 12. He was violent. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. There's a holy violence to protect. Let me ask you something to bring that down to a personal level that all of us can understand. Daddies, listening to me, I'm a daddy. What do you do to protect your child when they're going by a busy street? You sprint to get them away from that street to protect them and turn them back to safety. If you see, as we see in a lot of videos where people are trying to kidnap kids, daddies, most of the time they're not going to do that when a man's around, a real man especially. What are you going to do? You're going to go into high gear backed by God-given adrenaline and you're going to smite somebody. Somebody's going to get hurt, but nobody's going to touch and harm your wife and your child, right? I'm talking to real men, not men that pass right by when women and children and old people are getting attacked. Those are absolute cowards. So Paul was like that. He was a vicious, violent protector of the body of Christ. And he would smite lies. He openly rebuked Peter for just dissimulating with the Jews. Galatians chapter 2. He openly rebuked the apostle Peter in front of everybody. Verse 30, also of your own selves. Again, not from the Seventh-day Adventist cult, Jehovah's Witness cult, Catholic cult, Hebrew roots, demonic cult, etc. No, these people are working within. Also, of your own selves, right in the middle, shall men arise, right in the middle of you, smiling, well-dressed, articulate, warm, deceiving wolves. Of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, false doctrines, another gospel, not the whole gospel, not the full counsel of the gospel of Christ. Why do they do this? To draw away disciples after them. That's why the mega churches are so big. They have drawn people away with their lies, their cotton candy false gospel, instead of the original gospel. By the way, we have a book titled The Original Gospel, in case you want to consider getting it. It's all about what we're talking about here and much, much more. The original gospel is on record in the Word of God, from Genesis to Revelation, and namely from Matthew to Revelation. And are we preaching the full and the original gospel, or some modified false gospel, false version of it, borrowing a little bit here and there and siphoning out a few things to the exclusion of the whole of the Word of God? In the revelation of original gospel, verse 31, therefore watch, that's a term of great importance, to be vigilant and diligent to feed and protect the flock. Therefore, he tells the Ephesian elders, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now he comes back again with the word. Watch this. Brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. So he's saying, I submit you, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, the word of God, which is able to do what? What happens when we're in the Word every day, which is able to build you up? If you're not in the Word every day, you're not being built up, and you are famishing spiritually. You are falling away. You just need more of the Word of God. Every day, begin your day seeking God in the Word of God. It's able to do what? Build you up, strengthen, edify you, make you strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, Ephesians 6, and to give you an inheritance. What is essential to an inheritance among all them which are sanctified? What is essential to be in glory with Jesus? The Word of God. It is able to build you up so that you're like a wise virgin believer that's full of the oil, the virtue, the presence of the living God, the presence of the great bridegroom who awaits you in eternal glory. You're not like a famishing, foolish virgin in Jesus' parable, Matthew 25, 1 through 13, who didn't make it. They were engaged, espoused to the great bridegroom, but the five foolish virgins did not abide. They did not remain in Christ. They did not remain in the Word, and the Word didn't remain in them, so they famished, and they lost their light and weren't able to make it into, in fact, the bridal chamber, the door into the bridal chamber of eternal glory was shut in their face. They didn't endure to the end. In this message, and we'll come in for a landing, there's so much more in the text part of this message. There is so much on this topic of warning. Jesus said we're to be like Paul and not fear any man killing our body. Why? Because no one can kill your soul. And when you die, your soul's going to go to be with Jesus. Verse 28 of Matthew 10. And fear not them which kill the body. That's a standalone phrase. Meditate on it. Don't fear anybody that kills your body, but are not able to kill your soul. Your soul is alive and in the hands of God. Nobody else can touch it unless you let them. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him, that's God, which is able to destroy both soul and body. Where? In hell. That's Matthew 10:28. But what does he say before that? Fear them not, verse 26. For there is nothing covered nothing that's hiding in darkness presently that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. Everything that's presently in darkness to us is in the light of God. He sees everything, and it's coming to the light. Even in our day, we see so many things that are coming to the light, and that's a great scripture to pray. Lord, let this evil that's being done in these churches or in the government, Lord, bring it to the light so everybody can see it and it can be smitten and dealt with properly. That's why we mark Romans 16, 17, and 18, false teachers, to alert the body of Christ so that they are protected. It's no different than a man that's a pasturing sheep. You see, he's out there a shepherd. He's got 20 sheep, for instance, let's say, and one of them is starting to get away from the flock. What does he do? He warns them. There are wolves, there are tigers, there are lions, there are mountain lions that are going to eat you up. Now get back in the flock with Christ. Now the flock are those who are truly serving God according to the original gospel and the revelation of the Bible, which is 99% not the case with church building church services and groups on Sunday morning. That's a shame, but it's true. Many have left and departed from these country clubs, the church, in order to preserve their faith, not because they're departing from the faith. The people in that building have departed from the faith. That's why they can sit there and fund and support and bid Godspeed to false teachers that are peddling a false gospel. And Paul says in Galatians 1 that they're accursed for doing what? Preaching a false Jesus, another gospel, and it's empowering. Powered by another spirit other than the Holy Spirit, which means it's demons. Paul warned us that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, those are demons, and doctrines. Satan has doctrines, and he has ministers. Satan's doctrines of devils. Notice how seducing spirits, devils, and doctrines of devils go hand in hand. If you believe a lie, you got demons. That's one more reason why it's so important to be full of the Word of God, to only be crying out to God. Everything in the constitution of your belief system, in your heart, and your worldview, and your perspective is pure scripture. And that takes a process of studying the Word of God and being washed by the water of the Word of God, being cleansed from those lies, those false notions, those philosophies, those psychology, psychobabble, lies, etc. So then Jesus says, after he says everything in darkness is coming into light, verse 27 of Matthew 10, what I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in the light. We are to preach fearlessly, saints. This passage tells us that, and it tells us to do that even in light of the fact that they might kill our body. But then our eternal souls are released to go to God who gave them, who created them, who originated them into eternal glory, into the realm of utter peace forever, where we will rest from our labors forever, world unending. So he says, what I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in the light. Bring it to the light. And what ye hear in the ear, what God reveals to you by his Spirit and his Word, that preach ye upon the housetops. What are today's housetops? Internet, newspaper, magazines, website. That's why so many Christians have been led by the Spirit and are being daily to announce the truth of God, to shine the light of truth of the Word of God on the darkness that we see all around us in the professing church world, first of all, and in the government and in the world around us. And don't be afraid. Fear them not. Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. So Jesus instructed us to bring all darkness, every deed, in particular as we see him and the apostles doing and the prophets, exposing those who pretend to represent Christ, the spirit of Antichrist, while subverting the teachings and the gospel of Christ. We're told to shout it from the housetops, to expose it to all from the housetops, on all the platforms of communications. In that day, it was get in a higher elevation. That's what the housetop represents. Stand on top of your house and shout it. And to do so fearlessly as concerns mere sinful men. The guilty ones are the ones that are going to persecute you and get mad and try to cover up the expose of the known false prophets, as I spoke earlier about, where you had this guy trying to cover for Victoria Osteen and some other known false prophet, John Bevere? Are you kidding me? You think this guy had a clue that these people are not teaching the original gospel, but are perverting the gospel and deceiving many? It's all a big game to them, folks. Many of us don't realize that. It's a big photo op, cameo, celebrity status game to them. In fact, recently this week, a brother in Christ put out a meme of nothing but pictures of modern false prophets and them taking pictures at their big celebrations and parties that they go to together. T.D. Jakes and John Hagee, two known false prophets. Here's another one. John Hagee and Joel the Devil Osteen. Jesse Duplantis, Benny Hinn, and John Hagee. Another picture has now deceased Marcus Lamb. We hope he repented, right? Along with John Hagee and some other guy I don't know. What does this tell us according to what I mentioned earlier, which I want to encourage you to study and perhaps listen to some of the podcasts and read the text on the post we have on the conspiracy of false prophets. Just put in the word conspiracy. That's all you got to do. In the search box on safeguardyoursoul.com, you're going to see several posts. This is an interesting biblical phenomenon that you need to own and have it own you so that you see what's going on through the eyes of the kingdom of Christ, through the word of God. Here's one with John Hagee and Robert Morris, who we all know what happened there, right? Gateway Church. If you don't, well, just go look into it. It's very perverse. Jensen Franklin and John Hagee. Here's another one with John Bevere and John Hagee. Again, there's so many pictures with people shaking hands with the Pope, Billy Graham, and other devils from hell. Also, I know this is going to shock some. We have a post with Paul Washer and the Pope. Paul Washer, there's an insidious, evil, alarming, shocking tie between Paul Washer and the Pope. Paul Washer is a Calvinist. He's an absolute false teacher. Anybody who's a Calvinist is a false teacher. Yet so many people get enamored and they get back into the Reformed theology and the church fathers. They don't go far enough back, though, and they're completely deceived. They're not going back to the prophets and Jesus and Moses and Paul and John and Peter. There was all kinds of evil among the early church fathers. So we need to repent and go back to the final divine authority of God, the Word of God. All Scripture is given. Why? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for four things: doctrine, correction, reproof, and instruction in righteousness. Saints, we could go so much further into this. There's so much to it, but beware of those who are covering and bidding Godspeed to known false prophets. Let me finish with this. Before we pray, here's 2 John verses 9 through 11, and we're going to pray together in just a moment. 2 John is only one chapter, verse 9 through 11. Whosoever transgresseth a Christian, it goes back to sin, and abideth or remaineth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. Anybody who does not remain in the cardinal biblical doctrines of Christ given to us in the written word no longer has a relationship with God. He that abideth or remains in the doctrine of Christ. You got to get the doctrine of Christ and remain in it. You got to endure to the end in the doctrine, the record of Scripture about Christ. He hath both the Father and the Son. Those who remain embracing and believing and ministering, especially believing and receiving and having faith based on the doctrine of Christ, you have both the Father and the Son. Verse 10, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, if they preach anything contrary to the original gospel of Christ, the record he gave us in his word of himself, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Watch this. For he that biddeth him, the false teacher, Godspeed, is partaker of his evil deeds. In other words, you're going to be judged with him. In 2 Peter 2, 1 through 3, says all false teachers and all false prophets will have what? Damnation. They're going to hell. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We ask you to smite us to the core of our being with your holy fear. We ask with David that you would unite our hearts to fear thy name. Lord, to cut to the heart of who we are and rid us of all notions that are not purely your word, the constitution of your written word. Lord, make our constitution to be an exact duplicate of your word. Fill us with your Holy Ghost afresh. Circumcise us right now, Lord, beginning now. Do a deeper work in the innermost part of our being and give us a hunger to love you more and to desire to be full of your word every day and your presence as we glorify your holy name, as we look for your soon return, dear Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.